This morning, we're going to move forward and get into our message, and we're going to be in 2 Kings chapter number 13, 2 Kings chapter number 13, and of course, you'll recognize 2 Kings chapter number 13 from our studies that we've been involved in with the kings of Israel, and we were in 2 Kings chapter 13 the last time that we got together. And so we're again going to take our text verse from 2 Kings chapter number 13. 2 Kings chapter number 13, in particular, verses 20 and 21. In 2 Kings 13, verse 20, the Bible reads, "And Elisha died, and they buried him, and the bands of the Moabites invaded the land at the coming in of the year." Verse 21, "And it came to pass, as they were burying a man, that behold, they spied a band of men. And they cast the man into the sepulchre of Elisha. And when the man was set down and touched the bones of Elisha, he revived and stood up on his feet." The title of the message this morning is "The Bones of Elisha." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you today. We are thankful for an opportunity to be in your house. Lord, as we, as Darlene and I were reminded last night in our devotions, that we're to approach your house with gladness and joy according to the book of Psalms. And Lord, I pray that we're here today not out of rote routine and necessity, but that we're joyful to be here. We're glad to be here. We want to be here. And we want to meet with the Lord Jesus Christ and hear what you have for us today. Lord, as we examine this passage of Scripture, these two verses, the bones of Elisha, Lord, help us to learn and to glean and to be reminded of the importance of being effective and used in the lives of others. And Lord, today we just pray that you'd teach us what you want us to be taught. Help us to be attentive to get the message from you. We pray that you'd meet with us, you'd guide us, instruct us, and teach us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The bones of Elisha. This is one of the more remarkable miracles recorded in Holy Scripture. Now, Elisha's ministry in itself was an incredible ministry. His ministry, and I don't know if you realize this or not, as it was marked by the supernatural power of God, includes a list of miracles 20 long. 20 miracles just in the short span of Scripture that we have recorded with Elisha, of course, the successor to Elijah. 20 miracles. In fact, it's been noted that only the miracles that God wrought by the hand of Moses rival Elisha's as far as the number and variety recorded in the Old Testament. And so, Elisha had a remarkable ministry marked by the supernatural power of God. And we certainly see that in this last miracle involving Elisha. Now in our text, of course, Elisha is dead. He has gone on to be with the Lord. And this miracle is performed after his death. Makes it all the more remarkable. What we see here is just the touch of this corpse to the bones of Elisha leads to this corpse being lifted back to life. Now, our 2021 church theme, as we spoke on last week, is bouncing back. Bouncing back from the difficulties of 2020. And I really believe that considering the bones of Elisha will help us bounce back. In fact, one of the ways that we bounce back is to focus more on others and less on self. Robert Ingersoll famously wrote, "We rise by lifting others." Well, Elisha lived a life that lifted others. And I say today that considering the bones of Elisha will help us focus on how we can bounce back and be instrumental in lifting others. Now, this miracle teaches us the effect that you and I can have on the lives of others. In fact, our text points out three effects that we see from the bones of Elisha. First of all, we see that Elisha's bones served as a refuge. Secondly, this effect, the bones of Elisha had a reviving effect. And then thirdly, and we'll discuss this lastly and maybe a little bit more in depth, the bones of Elisha had a ratifying effect. A ratifying effect. And I'll explain what I mean that when it's appropriate. So, notice these three effects that we see from the bones of Elisha that I think will help us as we seek to bounce back in 2021 and focus more on others and less on self. Notice, first of all, this effect that the bones of Elisha have. They served as a refuge. Now, this is a rather remarkable situation that we read of in 2 Kings chapter number 13. These grave takers, or grave tenders, if you will, were in the process of burying this man. He's an unnamed man. We don't really know who he is. There are various commentators that make guesses as to who he is, but the Scripture doesn't tell us. And so they're burying this unnamed man. And of course, at this time, according to verse number 20, the Moabites had invaded the land. And so what happens as they're in the process of burying this man, the folks that are burying him spot a troop of Moabite soldiers approaching. They, of course, are fearful for their lives. And so they hastily cast this man's corpse into the tomb of Elisha. Now remember, in those days, they didn't bury like we bury today. They didn't dig 6 feet down and bury the corpse. They had tombs that they placed people in, and they would roll the stone in front of the tomb. And so it wasn't like this man was laid down into the grave of Elisha and lowered down in. Literally what happened is that they spy this troop of Moabites, and they're fearful for their life, and like, hey, what are we going to do with this guy? So Elisha, they just happened to be at Elisha's tomb. And they, whatever the process was, rolled the stone away or whatever, and they tossed this man's corpse into the tomb of Elisha, and this man's corpse lands on the bones of Elisha. And as he lands on the bones of Elisha, he is literally brought back to life. This is incredible, and yet it's true. And I say today that through this, we can see the effect that you and I can have on being a refuge for others, because Elisha, even in his death, with his bones laying there, he was a refuge. Now think about this, this effect from the bones of Elisha, having the effect of serving as a refuge. Notice that this was necessary. This was important for this situation. And think about the apprehensive and adverse situation that these men were involved in. And of course, we're primarily talking about the effect that Elisha's bones had on the corpse. But he also had an effect on the men that were carrying the corpse. And the Bible says that in verse number 21, "And it came to pass as they were burying a man, that behold, they spied a band of men." And notice here, the fact that they were in this situation was sure to cause apprehension and be an adverse situation. Now here they are, they're taking this guy to his grave, and they're basically confronted with a troop of soldiers from an invading nation and an invading army. We learn from this that you and I should be ready to be a refuge for those in life that encounter apprehensive and adverse situations. When is the last time that you can think of that you were available as a refuge for somebody that was going through a difficult time? Sure, it's true that God will deliver us from our adversities. We talked about this last week, didn't we? When we were talking about the just man falling seven times and rising again, and we mentioned the scripture where it says that many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all. And it's true, He does. In fact, listen to this quote by Thomas Adams, who is known as the Shakespeare of the Puritans. Thomas Adams wrote, "Be our troubles many in number, strange in nature, heavy in measure, yet God's mercies are more numerous, His wisdom more wondrous, His power more miraculous. He will deliver us out of all." And that's very true. But how does God deliver? Does God not use human instrumentality? I mean, look at the way that God delivered in this situation. God used the dead bones, the bones of Elisha, to deliver out of this adverse and apprehensive situation. I think that you and I, if we're going to bounce back in 2021, we got to be focused on others sometimes. We got to think less of self and more of others. We got to think about how we can be a refuge for others in apprehensive and adverse situations. Notice as well, Elisha's bones having the effect of serving as a refuge. Notice that his bones were nearby just when they were needed. His tomb was nearby. In fact, this was the only place that was approachable that could help in this situation. They needed some place to get rid of this guy's corpse instead of just laying it in an open field. And they just happened to come upon this tomb where Elisha's bones were present. I say they just happened to come upon this tomb. They just happened to be at the location of Elisha's bones. Could I ask you this? Are you approachable? I mean, is there ever a time when somebody is in a dire situation and in need of refuge, and you just happen to be nearby? You just happen to be approachable. You see, we live our lives so concerned about our own selves and even our own families. And folks, I'm not talking to this morning about just being approachable by your own family. I mean, nature itself teaches that we ought to be approachable by our own family. But I'm talking about thinking outside the confines of your own little makeup, your own little house, your own little family, and reaching out and being approachable to others. It just so happened that at the time that they spied this troop of Moabites, they were at Elisha's tomb. And folks, the picture that we get from that is that this was a refuge for them to place this corpse within, and Elijah, his bones just happened to be where they could be used by the Lord. Are you where you can be used by the Lord? You know, we talk a lot about, well, I'd rather be in this location, and I'd rather be in that location. I got to tell you, and I don't hide it, I can't stand Illinois. Cannot stand Illinois. For various reasons. But to be in the place where the Lord can use you is more important than being in a place where your flesh is satisfied and happy. There are many places that we could go today where we could say, well, you know what, it's not Illinois. But those places would have their problems as well. If we're in a place where the Lord doesn't place us, we're not going to be nearby. We're not going to be approachable when somebody needs our assistance. So notice the bones of Elisha. They had the effect of serving as a refuge. His bones were nearby and approachable. And then notice that they were approachable because of God's design. Elisha's bones were in the sepulcher. Why? Why do you put bones in a sepulcher? Because he was dead. In fact, in chapter number 13, in verse number 14, when King Joash goes to meet Elisha, the Bible says, "Now Elisha was fallen sick of his sickness whereof he died." And so the reality is that Elisha was dead and buried in the sepulcher, and he was dead and buried in the sepulcher, and his bones were there at the precise location when that corpse was tossed in order to give life to this man. And it was no coincidence that Elisha's bones were there. His bones weren't somewhere else. Elisha, you know, we might look at the life of Elisha and we might say, well, man, if God would have prolonged Elisha's life just a little bit longer, he could have been used in the lives of all of these other people. And yet, even in his death, by the design of God, Elisha was used by God. Now, Have you ever thought about this? And this is something that I've mentioned periodically throughout our years together. Have you ever thought that you are where you are at right now? Not for you, but for others. The location where you live, the job that you have. You know, a lot of us look at our jobs and we just go to the highest bidder. You know, we're just going to go to the place where we can make the most money. Well, what if that isn't the place where the Lord can use you the most? What if that isn't the place where God can use you to make an impact upon others? We've got to get out of this mindset that, you know, I'm just going to go to the highest bidder. If this job offers me more money, then I'll go to that job. What if your job offered you less money than another job, but the job that offered you less money is the place where the Lord wanted you, where He could use you in the lives of others? Would you be willing to do that? Now, I know that we say we would, but there's a place where the rubber meets the road. Right? So Elisha is here, his bones are here. He died at the perfect timing of God, exactly when God wanted him to pass, and his bones are here by the design of God. He's approachable because of God's design. I remind you of the epic passage of Scripture in the book of Esther, where Esther was challenged by Mordecai when Esther said, "Well, I can't go into the king because you can't go in unless you're bidden to come in by the king." And Mordecai's speaking to her and he says, "And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" Folks, today is such a time as this. You and I need to be looking at 2021 as to how we can be serving as a refuge for others, that we're in the right situation at the right time and we're available, and we look at it, we say, "Well, you know what, I don't really want to be in Illinois, but we're here because God placed us here for a purpose, and it might not be for our own benefit, it might be for others." And then notice that as Elisha's bones, the bones of Elisha were, they had the effect of serving as a refuge, Elisha was absent any ability of his own to do anything. I mean, what could this is not a miracle that extols everything about Elisha. This is a miracle that includes Elisha, of course. But this is a miracle that shows that God can work as He desires to work without any input from man. Now notice, Elisha was absent any ability of his own. If we ever hope to really lift others, if we ever hope to make a difference and an impact in the life of others, we have to again get our eyes off of self and get our eyes not only on others, but most importantly, our eyes on God. God can give us the ability and the strength to do that which we cannot do on our own. God can give us the ability. God can say to us, "You know what, I want you over here and it's not where you want to go, but I'm going to give you the patience and I'm going to give you the strength to do what I want you to do." What is it that Elisha did in this miracle? Nothing. I mean, the bones were tossed in. The corpse was tossed in. They land on the bones of Elisha. And through the power of God, when he makes contact with the bones of Elisha, the man stands up and he's alive. He's revived. You see, we got to trust and rely on the power of God. And so we see here this first effect from the bones of Elisha. We see that his bones served as a refuge. But notice this second effect of the bones of Elisha. They had the effect of reviving. Notice the Bible says in verse 21 of 2 Kings 13, "And when the man was let down and touched the bones of Elisha, he revived and stood up on his feet." Do you know that touching the bones of Elisha had a reviving effect upon this man? Now notice again, as we think about the situation here, the hopeless and helpless condition of the man. But not only the hopeless and helpless condition of the man, but the hopeless and helpless condition of Elisha. This is incredible. A dead man tossed into a tomb so that the grave takers could get out and preserve their own lives. They tossed the bones of this man. They tossed this man in, and he touches the bones of Elisha, makes contact with the bones of Elisha, and both of them are dead. You know, we ought to learn from this that, first of all, though we are spiritually alive, we were formerly dead in our trespasses and sins. We ought not to forget that. We ought to forget what God has done for us in our lives. And we also ought to remember that there are times in our lives where we are walking as though we are dead. We studied that a few weeks ago, the book of Ephesians, chapter number 5. And there are times in our lives where we are as though we are physically, emotionally, and mentally dead. We don't show signs of life. There are times when we get down and we get depressed and discouraged, and the devil and our enemies begin to beat us up, and we are as though we are literally dead. And God raises us up from that. We ought to remember that. And we also ought to remember that we in our lives will come in contact with people that are spiritually dead, that are still dead in their trespasses and sins. Now think about this. When the corpse of the dead man made contact with the bones of Elisha, he was revived and he stood up and lived. There ought to be times in our lives when spiritually dead people make contact with us, and we point them to the one that can make them live. We point them to the only one that can make them live. And we can do that because we've been there ourselves. You and I have been saved by the grace of God. God has worked in our hearts and our lives. He's caused us to see our sinful condition, that we're spiritually dead in trespasses and sin, and He saved us by His grace. And you and I ought to point others that are spiritually dead to the Christ that can save them. We can't make somebody alive. Elisha, in his condition, he was dead and already gone on to be with the Lord. He couldn't make this person alive. And so we see this picture of folks that are in a helpless and hopeless condition. But notice, not only do we see the hopeless and helpless condition, but we see that this man was healed on contact. He was healed on contact. The Bible here uses the word revive. In verse number 21, it says, "And when the man was let down and touched the bones of Elisha, he revived." And the word revive there literally means to restore to life, to live. This man's life was literally restored to him. And notice, his life was restored to him. And when his life was restored to him, what did he do? He stood on his feet. We will come in contact with people that are in need of reviving, that are in need of revival. And you and I ought to help people stand, instead of kicking them in the knees so that they fall. We talked last week about the righteous man, the just man, falleth 7 times and riseth again. We fall down, but we get up and we stand by the grace of God. Well, you know, sometimes we need some people to help us get up. Sometimes we need somebody that's standing by that will put out an arm and help us get up. You ever watch, I'm pretty certain that most of us here have seen football games. And not that all of us like football, right? But it's interesting to me, whenever the play's over, you know, and the guy that's carrying the ball, he's on the ground, or the people that tackled or blocked, you know, and one guy will put his arm up for someone else to help him up. And occasionally, a guy from the other team will help the guy up. Now, you don't see that very often, but you do see it. You know, you see a guy from the other team help the other guy up. And you know what? We may not be on the same team as everyone else, but we ought to be willing to help others up. We ought to be willing to lift them up. It's the old elevator principle. We meet people and they can either take us down or they can bring us up. We ought to desire to be the kind of people that lift people up. What did Paul say about the spiritual armor that we're supposed to put on in Ephesians chapter number 6? He said, after we put it on, we're supposed to do what? Stand. And we ought to help people to stand. We ought to be that iron that sharpens iron. We ought to be willing to help people and heal on contact. Isaiah 50 and verse 4 says, The Lord hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. And we ought to be willing to speak a word in season to him that is weary. But I want you to think about this morning. Don't make the mistake of thinking that the only word to be spoken to someone that needs healing and that needs to stand is a comforting word. Now, I might be shocking you with that. But you know, sometimes, I'm going to say it, we need a kick in the pants. Sometimes we need to hear the truth of the way things are in order to help somebody be healed. It isn't always that we need an arm around the shoulder. There are times when we need an arm around the shoulder. But there are also times when we need to hear the truth, and that truth may not be exactly what someone wants to hear. In fact, I got an email this week, a couple different emails from somebody saying, "Hey, I can help you fix this negative comment that somebody made about the church on one of these sites." And if you guys remember, a couple years ago we had this man and woman visit on a Wednesday night, larger guy, you know, and they sat through the services, and at the end of the services they wanted a handout. And I explained to them, we can't do that. There are places that'll help you. And of course, well, this guy went on and he wrote a negative report about the church, how that we wouldn't help anybody. Well, you know what? Sometimes you don't need a handout. You need a foot up. And sometimes you need to hear the reality of the way that things are. And people don't want to hear that. Oh, just speak to me the good things. Just speak to me the soft and comforting things. It is amazing that if you contrast the ministries of Elijah and Elisha, they were entirely different ministries. Elijah was a lot like John the Baptist. He's compared to John the Baptist. John the Baptist compared to him. And Elijah was a man who preached the judgment of God and the need for repentance. Elisha came on the scene, and Elisha had a different focus. We'll talk about that later in his ministry. And the fact is that sometimes helping heal on contact does not mean that we are withholding the reality of the situation. In fact, the Bible tells us in 2 Timothy 3, verse 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Tells us what's right. Tells us what's wrong. Tells us how to get things right. And tells us how to keep things right. And sometimes that is what is needed when we make contact with somebody who needs reviving and needs to stand on their own two feet. And then notice, thirdly, this effect that the bones of Elisha had on this man. We see that it was reviving, but it was reviving as conducted by a holy catalyst. A holy catalyst. This was only God that could really make this man live. This was only God that could infuse life into this dead body and cause this corpse to stand. Elisha was dead and could do nothing. And again, we want to bring this point home very clearly this morning. Yes, you and I ought to be focused on having an effect on the lives of others, just like the bones of Elisha. But we have to remember that we can't do the work of bringing life back to somebody. You can't make somebody stand. You can be used of God to speak the word and to take the actions and lift out an arm, but it is God that must do the work. And how oftentimes we get discouraged because we forget that God is in the equation. I mean, we could be discouraged this morning looking at the number of folks in attendance. And I'm going to tell you, I'm not discouraged. I wish this place were full. But until the point that God says, "I'm done with you here," I refuse to be discouraged. I refuse to allow the actions of others to make an impact upon my life to where I fold up my tent and go home. God doesn't raise us to be that way. We're not raised to be quitters of the cross. We're raised to be soldiers of the cross. And so you and I must get in the habit of not looking at the outward circumstances. What could possibly happen? Do you suppose that the men that threw this corpse into the tomb of Elisha had any idea in their mind that this guy was actually going to be revived and brought back to life? They didn't do this for that purpose. They were looking for a place to discard this man's body instead of leaving him lay in an open field, and they just happened to be at the tomb of Elisha that contained the bones of Elisha. God can do more than we ever think or imagine. God is powerful and sovereign, and you and I can take comfort and solace in that as we enter into 2021 and we're looking to bounce back. God can cause us to bounce higher than we've ever been before. Hey, there was a holy catalyst here. There was more at work than just meets the eye. So the effects of the bones of Elisha, his bones served as a refuge. They had the effect of reviving. And then lastly, notice that his bones here, the bones of Elisha, had the effect of ratifying. There's a ratifying effect. Now the word ratify, I'll read you the literal definition. Ratify. To confirm by expressing consent, approval, or formal sanction. Let me read it again. To ratify is to confirm by expressing consent, approval, or formal sanction. Do you understand that really the whole purpose of this miracle was to reflect back on the man Elijah and his ministry? In fact, listen to this quote by Albert Barnes. Barnes writes, "The primary effect of this miracle was no doubt greatly to increase the reverence of the Israelites for the memory of Elisha, to lend force to his teaching, and especially to add weight to his unfulfilled prophecies as to that concerning the coming triumphs of Israel over Syria. In the extreme state of depression to which the Israelites were now reduced, a very signal miracle may have been needed to encourage and reassure them." And so what is happening here is God is literally, in this miracle, putting His stamp of approval on the ministry and life of Elisha. He is saying to all of the Israelites, during your day, there was a man of God by the name of Elisha that preached my word to you. And what this man Elisha told you, you write it down. It's the truth. I was working through my prophet Elisha. Now notice here, the effect of ratifying the life and the ministry of Elisha. Notice as we see the effect of ratifying, what this did was it brought respect for the man of God. It brought respect for the man of God. In fact, if you look at Elisha's ministry, his ministry to Israel was not just to the people of Israel, but to the kings of Israel, and the impact that Elisha had on the nation of Israel was numerous and significant. I mean, Elisha preached the word of God, and God used it in the lives of the kings of Israel and in the people of Israel. In fact, we saw the respect that King Joash paid to Elisha here in 2 Kings chapter number 13 when he came in. And look at verse number 14 in 2 Kings 13 and 14. Now Elisha was fallen sick of his sickness whereof he died. And Joash the king of Israel came down unto him and wept over his face and said, "O my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof." And we looked at that when we studied the life of Joash on Wednesday night in our study of the kings of Israel. And he was paying respect to Elisha and saying that God had used Elisha more than 1,000 chariots and armies and so forth that could be used of God. Now, this portion of our sermon should give us pause to reflect and think about those Elishas in our lives. Those people through the years that have been our Elisha, who have preached the Word of God to us, and I'm not just talking about preachers. I'm talking about friends and family members and acquaintances and maybe people that you just met in passing that served as an Elisha in your life. We should think about them. We should take a moment to express our appreciation to them, those that have played the part of Elisha in our lives. See, this was a ratifying effect. This miracle had a ratifying effect. It was designed to bring respect for the man of God, and how often it is today. And look, I'm not playing my little violin. And, you know, words, sticks and stones may break my bones, words will never hurt me. Well, I can tell you words do hurt. But not to the degree of where you're going to double me over and cause me to quit. And I don't say that by my own ability. I say that by the stick-to-itiveness that God puts within the man of God. And I'm going to tell you right now, if you're looking for accolades and preaching the word or ministering to others, you're in the wrong business. You got the wrong focus. Because I tell you, I said to Darlene, and I said this to the church weeks ago, it's amazing how that the world will treat a preacher or a Christian better than fellow Christians. It's sad. And yet I've experienced it in my life. The people that we've done the most for have been the ones that have come back and stuck the knife in the back the furthest. Now again, I'm not saying that to complain this morning. I'm saying it as a statement of fact, as a reality. And yet you and I have had Elishas in our lives that have stood by and preached and taught the Word of God and ministered to us as we needed it. We ought to have respect for those people, for those men and women. And you know what? We ought not to keep it inside. We ought to let them know the impact that they've had. The bones of Elisha had a ratifying effect. They brought respect for the man of God. Notice as well that they were a rebuke. They were a rebuke for Israel's rejection of Elisha's message and subsequently, by extension, God's message. They were a rebuke for Israel's rejection of Elisha and God's message. Now I told you a little bit earlier that Elijah's ministry was different than Elisha's. Elijah preached a message, a fiery, hell, brimstone, fiery message that was much like John the Baptist. But Elisha's message was a little bit different. In fact, the main emphasis of Elisha's ministry was the resurrection and the hope of a new life for the nation of Israel if they would just repent and return to the Lord God Almighty. In fact, J. Sidlow Baxter, in his work Explore the Book, he wrote this: Kings and leaders, both inside and outside Israel, were obliged to take note of Elisha. And all Elisha's mighty acts, let it be remembered, were unmistakable and unanswerable evidences of the reality and sovereign power of Jehovah, Israel's true God, from whom the nation had now outrageously apostatized. You know what God was doing with this miracle using the bones of Elisha? He was saying to the people, y'all better get ready, you're in trouble. Because I delivered the true message through my messenger, the prophet Elisha, and you've rejected it. See, this effect was a ratifying effect. It was a rebuke for Israel's rejection of Elisha's message and God's message. And then notice as well the effect of Elisha's bones here. The ratifying effect is that they were reassurance for King Joash. Reassurance for King Joash as to the victory that God would give over the Syrians. Now remember, the Syrians had invaded the land. They had come in and had really oppressed the Israelites, and God used Joash to get rid of them three different occasions. Now, Joash learned that God would do this how? By the prophecy of Elisha in 2 Kings chapter number 13. And so here we have Elisha passing away. There's uncertainty. What is going to happen to the nation now? We already read Joash's reverence and respect for Elisha. So he had received the message from Elisha that God would deliver Israel three times by the hand of Joash. And yet now Elisha's gone. He's dead. God says, you know what? I'm going to send some reassurance. I'm going to let King Joash and the rest of the Israelites know that what Elisha prophesied is true. It'll come to pass. We are reminded that when God speaks through a man and it comes to pass, you know that man's a true prophet of God. In Deuteronomy chapter number 18, verses 21 and 22, in Deuteronomy 18, verses 21 and 22, and if thou say in thine heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord hath not spoken? In verse 22, when a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken, but the prophet hath spoken it presumptuously, thou shalt not be afraid of him. And so, was this the case with Elisha? Absolutely not. What Elisha had spoken came to pass. and what he had spoken to Joash would come to pass. His word would come true. And of course, this had the ratifying effect from the bones of Elisha. And then lastly, as we think about the ratifying effect of the bones of Elisha, notice that in this, there is a picture of the reality of the resurrection after death. There's a reality of the resurrection after death. Now, Matthew Hale wrote this back in the 1600s, a Puritan. He wrote, "This miracle was the immediate work of God and concurred with the translation of Elijah to keep alive and confirm in a degenerate and infidel age the grand truth of a bodily resurrection." You know, you and I, we need to be reminded periodically that when we die, the grave is not our final resting place. You and I need to be reminded that after this body passes on from this earth, there is a resurrection. There is a bodily resurrection. And we note that everybody, B-O-D-Y, will rise again. Notice what the Lord said in John 5, verses 28 and 29. "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall hear His voice." Verse 29. "And shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation." Of course, we're just not preaching salvation by works. He's talking about those that are the possession of the Lord's, that have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine according to Romans, the book of Romans, whereby they've repented of their sins and trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. There is the reality of a bodily resurrection. And whether or not we are Sadducees and we don't embrace that or accept that, it's still a reality. And we see that in the miracle performed here by God as these bones are thrown in and they touch base. This corpse touches base, touches the body and the bones of Elisha. He is literally revived. He's risen again. And so too is it that we're reminded of a resurrection. Now, which resurrection will you have? I like to think of the Lord's words to Martha when Lazarus had passed away and the Lord tarried for 4 days, and then He comes on the scene and she says, "If you had been here, Lazarus hadn't died." And Jesus begins to question her. He says, "Do you not believe in the resurrection?" And here in John chapter 11, verse number 25, the Bible says, "Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." Is this not a beautiful picture of what we see from this corpse being thrown into this tomb and making contact with the bones of Elisha? And when he makes contact with the bones of Elisha, he is revived and he stands and he is alive. When you and I make contact with the Lord Jesus Christ, the resurrection, I mean real contact, "The Lord knoweth them that are His, and His sheep know Him and know His name." When we make contact, we are assured that we will be part of that resurrection unto life. There's a beautiful picture presented here. And you and I ought to remember that as we think about the bones of Elisha. Well, this text points out three effects from the bones of Elisha. His bones served as a refuge. His bones had a reviving effect. And thirdly, his bones had the effect of ratifying. God placed His stamp of approval on Elisha. "This is my man. What he said, you can count on it. You can take it to the bank. Listen to his message." 2021. Bouncing back. What better way to bounce back than to get our eyes off of self and think about how we can impact others? Think about, instead of, here we are, it's January of 2021 and we're still wearing masks. Get your eyes off of self. Think about how you can help others. God will give you the grace and the ability to do whatever it is that we have to do through this pandemic. But think about others. Think about how God can use you in the life of others. God used the bones of this dead prophet, the bones of Elisha. Do you not think He can use you who are still alive here on this earth? The bones of Elisha. Let's pray.